Hear now as I read a portion of God's word from Luke chapter 6. We've considered up until the end of verse 11. I want to focus in on verse 12. I may read verses 13 to 16, but not spending too much time on those, maybe just to read them, simply to apply the truth of verse 12. Verse 12 being such a powerful verse. Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 16. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and give also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he called apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. May God bless what you have heard this afternoon. You may be seated. The letter of Jude is only 24 verses long. And at some point in time, even more than once, believers have heard the closing two verses of this short letter used as a benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. But it would also not surprise me that you have heard or even committed to memory possibly the third most well-known verse in this short letter, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Friends, contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints is not easy. It's not easy, especially when godly brothers and sisters disagree on important truths in or about the scriptures themselves. Truths I had to address in my first and second message today. Removing a verse from God's preserved written word is not a small thing. Ignoring or rejecting the numerous evidences that show Revelation is an apocalyptic vision of actual human history is not a small thing, especially when the things that moved the Lord to judge post-Constantine non-Christian Rome are still in the churches with no evidence and any desire for repentance or a searching out of the scriptures concerning them. 39 pages, single space of 11 point type listing patron demons from A to Z. Even going back to the message I preached from Luke 6 last Sunday on Jesus being the believer's true Sabbath, knowing the number of godly writers who would take issue at what I sought to declare. This is why I am thankful. This is why I am thankful that God in His sovereign providence, for not even a sparrow falls to the ground apart from His perfect will, but I am thankful that I am at the verses I've reached in Luke 6. For the Lord knew better than any of us ever will due to how far short we have all fallen of the glory of God. What it is like to sinlessly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. For as Jesus sought to correct the erring Pharisees regarding the old covenant Sabbath that points to and is fulfilled by Him, what does Luke record was their reaction? How did they react to this truth? Verse 11, and they were filled with madness. They were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. But as dark and depraved as their reaction was to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the believer's new covenant Sabbath rest, teaching truth about the Sabbath, what a blessing. What a blessing to see Luke record what Jesus did in those days when he knew the opposition against him would not end until they had crucified him. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Oh, to have the wisdom to follow this example of Jesus when contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And when that contending becomes difficult or people express dislike towards you because of something you believe from the Word of God, or you try to explain something to them from the Word of God, or to seek the living God in prayer. Like you see Luke telling you Jesus did. But I must repeat what I mentioned in a previous message in Luke 5:16, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And for Luke to record these truths about the prayer life of Jesus so close together testifies to how important prayer was in the life of the sinless Son of God. But in saying this, I must repeat something I said in my message on Luke 5:16, not verbatim, for I did not go back to refer to it, but I know this is something that bears repeating. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil trip you up and assault you so you do not benefit from what is recorded about the sinless prayer life of Jesus. Luke is recording these examples of the prayer of our Lord and Savior not to cast you down. Because what true believer cannot say? Oh, to mirror the prayer life of my Lord and Savior in my redeemed life. But should you desire to profit and benefit from the sinless example of the prayer life of Jesus, even in this verse, when Luke records Jesus spent an entire night in prayer, believer, don't let the world trip you up. Don't let the world trip you up by treating your believing prayer as a waste of time. As a waste of the thing none of us can recycle after we've used it. Time. Prayer? Spend time in prayer when COVID stalks the land? Prayer? When the world economy is on life support, as we are led by men salivating over a new digital currency, prayer, as tyrants toy with and impose further unnecessary and health and life destroying and life-ending lockdowns. Pray when man-made climate change is going to incinerate us all? Pray when? Yes. Pray when? Yes. Because notice, as Jesus faced the madness of religious men, what do you read Jesus doing? What do you read Jesus doing? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Believer, don't let your own flesh trip you up. Your flesh, your remaining sin, would prefer you do anything else than spend time alone with God in prayer. Don't listen to your flesh, because your flesh can give you 1,001 reasons not to pray. Keep your eyes on Jesus and say, prayer must be a blessing and important, for my sinless Lord and Savior would not spend a night in prayer if it was not only these two things, but more. Now, did Jesus do other things besides praying all night? Most definitely. Truth I will return to, in case the devil is already trying to use what I am saying to cast you down because you struggle with consistency and perseverance in prayer. Who hasn't at one time or another? Because not only do you have to battle the flesh, but don't let the devil trip you up. An extended period of time in prayer? You? God will hear the prayers of his sinless son, but you, after thinking the thoughts you thought, saying the things you said, and not redeeming the time, do you actually think God will want to hear you pouring out your heart to him in prayer? Believer, come to God through the one who prayed all night. When you feel the world, the flesh, and the devil aligned against you. Because what moved Jesus to spend this extended time in prayer? The forces of darkness that were clearly beginning to align against him were showing themselves. Jesus knew what this would mean for him, his death. So he needed time to commune with his Father, not only in preparation for that reality, but to commune with him concerning those he would call to be his disciples, so that they would be his witnesses after he was taken from them. Don't let the truth that Jesus could pray sinlessly hinder your ability to see how important prayer must be to being truly human. To being truly human. For Jesus was sinless, and what do you see him doing? Spending a night in prayer. When the sinless humanity of Jesus Christ spends a night in prayer, see how important it is and what a true blessing it must be. For you don't see anyone forcing Jesus into the mountain to pray. No one could have forced him. He wanted to be there. For no one could take his sinless life from him, but he laid it down of his own accord. And so no one forced him up into that mountain to pray. Jesus willingly went up that mountain to spend a night in prayer. Jesus knew he needed to pray in his sinlessness. Follow his sinless example by saying, I need to seek God in prayer. I need to pray to seek God's forgiveness for my sins and the wisdom and the guidance and the fellowship I need for the good of my redeemed soul by continuing, by communing with the living God in prayer. Jesus in his sinlessness is showing you what the soul of man needs while on this earth: to commune and fellowship with the God of truth, a truth I will return to. A person who displays no interest or desire to pray is showing that the world, the flesh, or the devil is tripping him up, or he is still dead in trespasses and sins. Because what is one of the first things recorded about Paul after the Lord saved him? That he was praying. Praying like he never had before in his life as he realized the truth about his Lord and Savior that he had been rejecting and persecuting. But what is Jesus praying all night to God showing you, believer? If you have been brought from spiritual death to spiritual life in Christ by the regenerating grace and mercy of God the Holy Spirit, Jesus is showing you that your saved soul needs to spend time with the living, true, and only God through the one advocate you have between yourself and God. The one who thought though sinless, spent a night in prayer to God. But what can I say about this record of the prayer life of Jesus for your encouragement, for your exhortation, for your help? As I've already emphasized, but do so in a different way. Don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil prevent you from benefiting and being blessed by what Luke records Jesus doing in verse 12. For the Holy Spirit did not infallibly guide Luke to record this desire and this discipline of the Lord Jesus Christ to spend an entire night in prayer, to cast you down, but to edify you, believer, to teach you, believer, and to bless you, believer. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are not going to teach you how to pray to the blessing and benefit of your soul. I'll return to that. The last thing this trio of soul enemies wants is you to be blessed and you to benefit from the examples given in the Gospels of the prayer life of your Lord and Savior, believer. But what can you learn from this example of the prayer life of Christ? First, I've already briefly mentioned it, but when you are confronted with trials, when you are confronted with difficulties, I ask you, do you turn to God in prayer? Do you turn to God in prayer? Jesus teaches on the Sabbath correctly, corrects their incorrect understanding about it, and they are filled with madness. And they commune with one another what they might do to Jesus. And what do you see Jesus doing, brethren, in the face of this depraved madness? And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus knew he needed to spend time in prayer with his Father in those days. In what days? In the days when men were filled with madness in their opposition against him that would lead to them killing him in their demonic madness. Believer, do you see men filled with madness today? Do you see men filled with madness today, even desiring your hurt, even as they try to deceive you into thinking that they have your best interest at heart? Friends, if the madness of the many in power at the present time who think they have the right and authority to destroy people's lives and livelihoods through their tyrannical decrees have not made prayer more important to you, I ask you honestly, do you understand the times that we are presently going through? Men are displaying they're being tools of the devil on a level not seen in my short time upon this devil-blinded world. These last 8 months and counting have been a display of mass delusion. And there does not appear to be any decrease in the level of madness that is being seen as tyrannical men push their life-destroying dictates. I say to you, believer, don't be cast down. Don't be overwhelmed by fear and frustration. Do what Jesus did when he was confronted with men filled with madness and desire to do him harm, even kill him. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Dare I say that if these last 8 months have not made prayer more important and a blessing to you, are you following the example of Jesus as he knew he was going to have to face insane men who would not stop displaying their insanity until they had killed him? And continued to do so afterwards by persecuting his very disciples. Believer, what does Jesus show you to do when you are surrounded by people displaying signs of madness? What does he show you? Get alone with God. Get alone with God. And I will leave it to your observation as to whether or not mankind is displaying symptoms of delusional madness today on a level never seen before. If what you are seeing leaders willing to do and doing over the last 6 months and counting has not made time with the Lord more important to you, I ask you, are you even awake? But notice second where he went to pray. Notice second where he went to pray. Jesus went to a place of solitude. And I emphasize again what I mentioned in a previous message. You live in sound and visually saturated times. How quiet must it have been up on that mountain as Jesus sought the face of his Father in prayer. But 21st century man does not like silence or darkness. Believer, you are living in a world that does not like silence, does not like solitude, and your flesh doesn't either. You can surround yourself with 24-hour light and sound. Now, is light bad? No. Is the gift of being able to listen or watch something to the glory of God and the good of your own soul wrong? No. But what can hinder the blessing of spending time with God? All the sights and sounds that can hinder your ability to commune with God in prayer. Jesus shows you that if circumstances require it, you need to find a place where you can be alone with God. And you are never less alone than when you have decided to find a place of silence and solitude to spend it in communing with God your Father. And when I talk about finding a place of silence and solitude to commune with God like Jesus did, I'm not talking about following the examples of the many false teachers who push the benefits of silence and solitude, but the silence and solitude they push is so people can meditate on their navels. Or the false God they call God and not the living God Jesus was communing with in prayer. Jesus wanted the solitude so that he could focus on the truth of praying to his heavenly Father. Now, does this mean that you cannot pray when you're in the presence of others? No. Jesus did this more than once. Father, I thank you that you've hidden these things from the wise and foolish and revealed them to babes. He blessed the loaves and fish that he was about to multiply. He prayed publicly on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. But what a sign of how truly dark the times are. How many in the churches, because of the especially dark times that are upon us, have said, I need and I want to spend more time alone with God. I need to cut back on so I can. Again, Jesus prayed publicly and in the presence of others more than once, but he is also showing you that prayer is a very personal and private thing. Believers have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was, I need to spend time alone with God. Again, the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to fight you doing this tooth and claw. Lord, work in me what is well pleasing in thy sight. And one of those things is spending time alone with you in prayer. Notice the obvious. What did Jesus go out into the mountain to do? To pray. What is prayer? Prayer is communing with God. Prayer is talking with God. Prayer is crying out to God, to the living God, the true God, dare I say the personal God, the God who through Christ can be prayed to and can be communed with. Biblical prayer is not one hand clapping. Biblical prayer is not getting in touch with yourself. The sinless humanity of Christ was communing with his heavenly Father through prayer. And the fact that prayer was both important to Jesus, something he wanted to do, something he knew he needed to do, and something he enjoyed doing, is seen by what Luke records with reference to the length of time he prayed and continued all night in prayer to God. Remember, no one forced Jesus up that mountain. Tyrants can impose things you find as a burden. No one was forcing Jesus up to that mountain to pray. Now again, don't let the devil mess with your mind. You have never prayed all night
and you call yourself a Christian. You've never prayed all night, and you call yourself a Christian. The times and circumstances and the decisions that Jesus had to make necessitated the length of his prayer, but Jesus was still a sinless human being indwelling a body that could be disciplined to pray for long periods of time, but not constantly. Jesus did other things, even sleep in a boat filling with water. He was so tired in his humanity. Even needing the disciples, he would choose after the night of prayer to go into the town to find food as he rested by the well in Samaria, too tired to accompany them. Now, Luke does not reveal this, but it is not hard to imagine that the devil assaulted Jesus as he prayed. But I am sure Jesus enjoyed communing with his Father in prayer. Remember, believer, the world, the flesh, and the devil do not want you to enjoy prayer. But to state the obvious, who did Jesus pray to? Luke 6:12, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. To God. Remember, when the scriptures use the word God, it is not referring to the user-definable deities men like to call God. God is a word definable by the Bible. And if you try and define the word God without using the Bible, you are an idolater. Jesus was praying to the God defined and explained by the Bible. And one of the most amazing verses in the Bible among many, Psalm 138:2, while I worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's through the word of God that we understand what the name of God means. All that he is pleased to reveal about himself. If you have trouble praying to God for any length of time, maybe you need to study the Bible. Maybe you need to study what the Bible reveals and declares about God to empower you and bless your prayer life. If there is one thing that Jesus clearly shows you, is that God is personal. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I know that you always hear me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Friends, God is not a slot machine. God is not a slot machine that if you say something enough times, he's going to respond. And friends, one of the clearest examples of how the devil has deceived people with respect to prayer is something I mentioned this morning. The rosary. Friends, the endless repetition of even things that are true is not prayer. What good is it to endlessly repeat things that are both true and false? What a sign of how demonic the rosary is, mixing truth and error together so that 10 Hail Marys are bracketed with a mindless repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Friends, Jesus didn't need rosary beads and a rosary mantra to spend an entire night in prayer to his Heavenly Father, and neither does any true believer in Christ. Why did Jesus spend this night in prayer? Because of the enemies he knew he would be increasingly facing, and because of needing to make an important decision. What decision? The selection of his apostles. As you see in verses 13 to 16, Jesus had an important decision to make. He spent time in prayer. Did he do this to cast you down, believer? No. But to show you the blessing of being able to commune with the living God through him and his example, to seek the face of God through Christ. Meet with him asking for the wisdom, for the forgiveness, for the guidance, for the help, for the strength, whatever it is you need. We can pour out our hearts to him in prayer, even the decisions we know we need to make, but no, we cannot make them without the help of heaven. The sinless Son of God knew he needed the help of heaven to live in this world and make the decisions he needed to make, and showed it by spending a night alone in prayer with his Father. May the Holy Spirit be pleased to use what he moved Luke to record about the prayer life of Jesus to help you in yours and to help me in mine. For in these increasingly insane days, do you and I not need to see how important prayer was to the only one who can keep us sane in these insane days? Lord, teach us how to pray. Let us pray. Oh Lord, can we ask for your help to take the wonderful prayer life of your Son and work it into our lives so that we can be a people not only who enjoy you, but can be useful to you in these insane times. Because, Lord, they are insane. People are filled with madness. And I don't know how much more is going to be seen. So I pray that we would be a people of prayer. A people who know the blessing of saying, I want to spend time alone with my God so that I can be a blessing not only to my own soul, but to the souls of others. Lord, we need to be a people of prayer. Help us by your grace to see the wonderful example of Jesus and to learn from it and to apply it. And we will give you all the praise. In his wonderful name, amen.